You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can China kill off its zombie enterprises? From Marketplace, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. The Chinese government announced plans over the weekend to speed up reforms of its state-owned companies. Businesses that are so bloated and slow-moving, the government itself calls them zombie enterprises. For more, let's talk to Anne Stevenson Yang, the founder of J Capital Research. We reached her in Shanghai. Anne, how are you?
I am good, Molly.
Tell us about China's plans to reform its state-owned enterprises. What's new about this announcement?
The only thing that's new about it is the government is shorter of cash than it used to be. So this is part of an initiative that has a very lengthy and august history going back to the 1990s. And in the 1990s, it was all about, when this began under Zhu Rongji, who was the premier then, it's all about making sure that the state-owned enterprises produce more cash for the government. So all this really is the government needing more cash. So these are a couple of ways to get it.
So now, if we're to consider this real reform, wouldn't state-owned businesses need to be allowed to fail? There's no word on that. How critical would something like that be?
What the Chinese state means when it says real reform is cutting out some of the fat in state-owned enterprises so that the owners, who are the party in the state, get a higher yield because they need more cash. So that's what state-owned enterprise reform is about. So anti-monopoly, anti-corruption, tax reform, state-owned enterprise reform, they're all one thing, and they're about raising the yield for the state. It's about reducing waste and inefficiency in order to increase profitability for the state.
Anne Stevenson Yang is the founder of J Capital Research. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, nice to talk to you.
And now let's do the numbers. China's Shanghai Composite closed down 2.67%, and the tech-heavy Shenzhen index was down 6.7%. Elsewhere in Asia and Europe, markets were mixed. If you buy a lottery ticket, you expect to get paid if you win, right? Well, not if you're in cash-strapped Illinois. A class-action lawsuit says the state's lottery has made promises it cannot keep. From Chicago, Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The Illinois Lottery is handing out IOUs to winners for jackpots above $25,000. And that's tantamount to fraud, says attorney Thomas Zimmerman. He's brought a lawsuit to get state officials to pay out jackpots.
The state has continued to represent that you will be an instant winner, but yet they knew all along that they would not be paying out the prize money.
The state lottery says it will pay once there's a state budget. Lawmakers have been at an impasse over a huge deficit since July, and the state's been operating without a budget. Patrick Pierce, co-author of the book Gambling Politics, State Government, and the Business of Betting, says what's happening in Illinois is unprecedented.
It really is a kind of stunning development that a state would fail to pay lottery winners.
The Illinois State Lottery refused our requests for an interview. In a statement, they said they have the money to pay, but lack the legislative authority to disperse big jackpots. In Chicago, I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. More now in our ongoing series on how Vassar College in New York, known as an elite private school, has been trying to make its campus more inclusive. Vassar has been working with a group called the Posse Foundation to bring military veterans to campus. Keith Coleman is one of those. He's a sophomore now at 32 years old and engaged with two kids. Coleman served in the Marine Corps for 5 years and left in 2006.
Within like a year after I got out, I was like a full-blown drug addict. It was first painkillers was my thing. Eventually, you graduate to heroin because it's cheaper. I spent 3 years in and out of rehabs, in and out of homeless shelters, on the street. You know, I was probably in 12 to 15 different programs. So I went into the last program that I would go into in 2010. I did well. I stayed clean. I got a job at Dunkin' Donuts. Like, I started getting my life together, and then I met my fiance. She's a registered nurse, so she has ambition, and she saw that I could be better than what I was doing. So she kind of urged me to go back to school and to, you know, to try it out. When I was 29, I went back to community college, Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey, and I graduated from there last year. I'm used to getting A's, like Essex County, that's all I got. So I kind of thought I was going to keep that rolling when I came here. That's not the case. I'm kind of like in the middle of the pack. I have like a 3.5 right now. I had a class last semester, Greek mythology, that I thought was going to be this really fun class, talking about the gods and, you know, Zeus and stuff. And like the second day, I was like, whoa, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Like the discussion was like so like philosophical and kind of snooty. And one of the girls in Posse 2, she sat next to me and she's my age and she's never been to school. And like we would write notes to each other like, dude, we're so dumb. Like, what is going on? And we like, I dare you to say something. Like, I dare you to raise your hand. So it's been awesome having her. I wish I was 10 years younger and I took it seriously when I was 18, but I just didn't see the benefit. Nobody in my family has a degree. In my family, work was more important than school. Being at Vassar, and I'm sure any school like Vassar, it's a lot. It takes over your life, and you have to be willing to sacrifice a lot. And if you're not, then don't even bother. You know. And I'm willing to sacrifice, and my family is willing to sacrifice because it's better for all of our futures. You know.
That was Keith Coleman, a Marine veteran and sophomore at Vassar College. That story was produced by Marketplace's Amy Scott. You can find all of her coverage on Vassar and its diversity efforts at marketplace.org. From the studios at Montclair State University, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.